Good afternoon. It's my favorite group yet so far. Amen. And Jesus loves Tuesdays anyway. He loves everything about Tuesday. He loves everything about this Tuesday, your Tuesday. Remember we used to sing as charismatics back in the day? But most of them didn't mean it. They just liked to sing the song. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. My goodness, how many days have we wasted? Amen. Great. So I'm spending a lot of time in just reading scripture. And so that's preempting. It will preempt some, maybe a lot, the Gospel of John. Because what I do here is really what kind of flows out of what I'm doing over there. So my time alone with the Lord is this. Let me just read these verses to you. And we'll come back and look at something. This is the longest sentence in the Bible. Beginning in verse 3. Of chapter 1 of Ephesians. Now, maybe I'm going to read it the way I changed some wording because I changed the wording back to the way it is in original Greek. And it even makes more sense. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just get this in your head. Everything he's going to talk about was accomplished in Christ, but by the Father. It was all the Father's doing. That's who your Father is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, just as he, the Father, chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him, the Father, in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intentions of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he, the Father, lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his, the Father's will, according to his, the Father's kind intentions, which he purposed in him, Jesus Christ. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heaven, things in the earth, and also in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his, the Father's will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory, in whom you also, after listening to the message of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him, Jesus, with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, that means our new body, to the praise of his glory. Pretty remarkable sentence. Not only does he talk about being blessed and having places, you kind of soar there in this one sentence. And again, it's like as if Paul was so full of the Spirit and he just began to write these things down, he couldn't figure out a place to put a period. He was just too excited to put a period anywhere. But I want you to notice this like 11 times in chapter 1, like in verse 1, it says, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption. Verse 9, which he purposed in him. Verse 10, the summing up of all things in Christ. Verse 11, also we've obtained an inheritance having been predestined according to his purposes. Verse 12, to the end that we were first to hope in Christ should be the praise of his glory. Verse 13, in whom also after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him by the Holy Spirit of promise. I think that's 11 times. That's a lot. As if Paul's trying to say something about being in Christ. But here's the thing. Here's the one that blows me away. Now listen to the Father's logic. This is all about what the Father's doing. All the statements about grace is this is the Father. The Father's lavished all this grace on us in Christ. He accomplished all this. He accomplished all of his kind intentions. He accomplished his purposes in Christ. But this is, again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is the Father, not some ornery, grouchy old man who's been around a long time and just doesn't hate sin and just has issues with us, but Jesus stands between us and him. Now, this is Abba, the one who lavishes grace on us. But again, listen to what he says, these first few verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, this Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Just as he, the Father, chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, this is what I love. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. That's cool. Before the foundation of the world, before Adam and Eve ever fell, God's plan all along, we were saved before we were ever lost. That's who he is. That's who our Father is. That's the Father of the Old Testament, the Father of the New Testament, that he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Huh? I mean, I thought this holy blameless thing before him was kind of like a stagnant deal. Like, I'm holy and blameless in him because I'm in Christ, and therefore, you know, he kind of has me, but I'm holy and blameless, but we know they're all rotten to the core. God knows that too, but you can't do anything about it because we're in Christ. We're holy and blameless. Like, that's very sterile. But he says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him in Christ in love. Now, I hope this rocks your world the way it rocks my world. That we should be holy and blameless before him. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intentions of the will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. And the word beloved's in capital letter. He's talking about Jesus. Now, the 11 times the phrase in him or in Christ is used, this one time he doesn't use the phrase in Christ or in whom. He uses the phrase in the beloved. Just as he chose us in the beloved before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. You don't just stand holy and blameless before him even though he believes you deserve hell. He loves who you are, holy and blameless before him. He doesn't separate who you are from who you are in the beloved. That is who you are. Did you hear me? He said, I'm going to choose you and place you in the beloved. What do you mean the beloved? How about Matthew 3:14? Behold my beloved son. Wow. When he relates to TC or to David or to Anna or to Craig or to me or to Gail, you are standing before him as holy and blameless as Jesus is, with the same kind of affection he has for Jesus. You're in the beloved, and he loves you. He can't separate who you are from the beloved. You are now one with the beloved. You are the beloved. And you're holy and blameless with him, before him, in a love relationship. Not a judge who's placed you there so that he can't pour out his wrath on you. You hear me? Think about how holy and blameless Jesus is. And think about his standing before the Father, what the Father feels about him. The Father didn't just look at him and go, yeah, okay, you're clean. Okay, you deserve to be here because you're blameless and holy. He's just holy and blameless, but this one who he loves so much, that's you. It is so cool to me to know that David's the beloved who's holy and blameless before him. TC's the beloved who's holy and blameless before him. That's how he fixed us. That's just stunning to me. I mean, gospel almost seems like not a good enough word, but our understanding of gospel. Because remember what we said, the word literally, how it was used among the Greeks, the secular Greeks? It usually was used, this word gospel, was used when like one of the city states was under attack and all the soldiers and the young men have gone out to do battle and everybody in the city is waiting to hear how the battle went. Because if the battle didn't go good, the winner could come in and ravage the city. And then a runner would come back and bring them news. It's been a decisive victory on our behalf. That's what the word gospel means. A victory that's so decisive that it changes everything about who you are and about your future and outcome. And this was that victory. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. What was that choosing like? So we be holy and blameless before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to God the Father's kind intentions. How did he do that? We've talked about this before. He said, I'm going to graft you into the sonship of Jesus, into his sonship. That's why you have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Because what belongs to Jesus belongs to you. And what belongs to Jesus in terms of his relationship with the Father belongs to you. And you are as holy and blameless before the Father as Jesus is. And he goes down in verse 13 and says, and in him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed in him. That position of being holy and blameless before him in love because you're the beloved, that is a sealed deal. And it can't ever be undone by anything the enemy does or you do. Do you understand that it's understanding that is what transforms you? The scripture says this is all about, twice in the scripture, this is all according to the Father's kind intentions. Doesn't it say that it's the kindness of God that draws us to repentance? Not the condemnation of God? In him, he says, you have redemption, the forgiveness of your sins. It didn't say in him you might have redemption. In him you could have redemption, the forgiveness of your sins. If you beg enough, please enough, tell God how really how sorry you are this time. You have it in him. You're holy and blameless before the Father in love. Because you've been grafted into the sonship of Jesus. You've been grafted into the beloved. You've been woven into the fabric of the beloved's existence. That's your identity. When we start believing that, you know what happens? We find ourselves living in that, trusting in that, because that's what's true about you. Jesus is the truth about you. I didn't say you were Jesus. I just said, Jesus is the truth about you. It's just amazing to me. And so I spent 3 hours this morning, I was going to read through the scriptures. Well, I made it through Galatians and the first 14 verses of Ephesians because there's just so much stuff. This is a magical book. It's a wonder book. You know, like Wonder Bread, this is a wonder book. It's an enchanted book. And enchanted things changes everything, doesn't it? Oh my gosh, from the ground view, we see our imperfections, all that kind of stuff. Life is a yada yada. But when you, that which is enchanted changes your story. And it's not a fairy tale, but it is the Father's tale about you and me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.